He now runs his own practice in Brisbane where he sees people as a psychologist. Today, Mark is going to talk on a very topical thing called the mental health in schools. So, welcome back to 99.7, Mark.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Good. So, what a topic you've chosen to speak about.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Especially.
Oh, definitely. I can remember what it was like for me this time. Well, about 8 years ago now for me when I was doing my Year 12 exams to get into university. A lot of pressure that you place on with from yourself and your parents place on you, and comparing yourself with your peers, thinking your whole life's at stake if you. Exactly. It is very big, and we think for some reason this decision or this next step in our lives is bigger than others, but I think really it's just another step like any other area of your life, really.
That's right, but you're in a very vulnerable age. So
you are.
So, Mark, why mental health in schools? So we'll start right at the beginning.
Well, I think generally the ages of, everyone's different, but I think generally speaking the ages of 13 and 17 are a hugely important time in your life. You know, you have different physical changes happening, you know, different things such as academia is important, and you think if you bomb out at this stage in your life, you know, it's going to affect the rest of your life. So I see that they're also formative years. If you can actually, you know, get on a roll during these years in your life, then it sets you up for later in life. So I think it's really important that that we get these years right. It can either really make or break an individual. My experience during this time, Leslie, really actually got me into this line of work.
Oh, right. So, do you mind elaborating what experiences they were?
Well, yeah, for me, Year 8 and 9, like for most people, were quite difficult years for me. And, you know, I had to deal with a number of different issues, such as, you know, school success, getting into university, being accepted by friends and peer pressure, and also, you know, death and relationships with my parents. I had a few grandparents die during this time. So yeah, like for me, I had to deal with a lot of issues, but I'm not saying that I was any different to anyone else. But the thing is this, Leslie, I actually got some help, and a tutor who I started seeing in year 9 was I guess a bit of a turning point for me, and it really was a bit of a mentor and did make all the difference.
Right.
And for me, this tutor was a bit like a life coach, really. So I did kind of go to see him for English tutoring, but also it was, you know, help, goal setting, helped coach me through the different things that were happening in my life, and ended up seeing him for about 3 years, and I can honestly say if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be the person I am today.
And you, Mark, are a life coach too, aren't you?
Well, exactly.
That's your job.
I've seen firsthand what a huge impact a life coach can have on someone, especially during these years in their life.
Yes, that's right. So look, one of them. Mark?
Well, I think the two real common ones, and these aren't just for high school students, this is for society in general, it's depression and anxiety. I'm seeing a lot of...
Terrible, isn't it? It's like a thing of the moment. 2000 disease.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it is scary how common these two mental issues are, and I think they're especially pronounced within high school students. I reckon probably 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 high school students would be struggling with either depression or anxiety at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, it is really that common, Leslie, and people don't quite appreciate how common it is.
They tell you what, the guidance officers must be busy at school.
Well, yeah, they're definitely overworked, and that's why people sometimes have to look elsewhere, because the schools sometimes don't have the capability to deal with these different...
Right.
Exactly.
Different schools share. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember my school had over 2,000 students there. There was there was only a part-time guidance officer there. Yeah, for 2,000. Yeah, so they were obviously overworked. You know, other different professionals such as tutors or psychologists were really required, depending on the person. But yeah, like it's quite a stressful time for students, as I said. Like you think about it, it's unrelenting. You know, when you first get to high school, you're 8 and 9, you're dealing with hormones, fitting in, you know, being liked, and even romantic relationships as well. Yeah. So you literally you've got this journey that you have to go through, but you almost don't have a map to follow, and you pretty much work it out as you go. And then once these things sort of settle down a bit, you know, you get to year 10, and then by the time you get to year 11 and 12, you got the academic pressure on yourself.
The academic pressure is incredible. I think year 11 might be extremely busy. You know, I mean, 12, yes. And you've got to make sure that you achieve to get, if you want to go into tertiary. But 11, they have so many different changes, you know, from...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a huge jump between the end of year 10 and the end of year 11 academically.
Yes.
And year 12, I guess you've got used to those changes, but the pressure's on now to actually perform.
That's right.
And you've got formals as well. I remember stresses dealing with formals and... table, who's going to sit at your table. it really is unrelenting.
And they're trivia now when you grow up, but I mean when you're older and it's all over and done.
Yeah, you can laugh.
It's not trivial at that stage.
No, it isn't. And then also you add into the mix such as pressure from parents, especially with the academia, and often the constant comparison with those people around you, such as your friends.
That's right.
And then you add in just the lack of life experience to draw upon to, I guess, get you through these tough times, which we can draw upon later on in life. But when you're in high school, we really haven't got much life experience to draw upon.
Oh, no, you're just starting out.
Exactly. So it's...
starting out.
Yeah.
Well, we're speaking with Mark, who's a psychologist, and he's talking about mental health in schools. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll have a break for the moment. Kind of feeling by the dynamic hypnotics from 1984. This is your Bedford 99.7 here with Leslie and their complimentary therapies. We're speaking at the moment with Mark, a registered psychologist, and Mark's telling us about mental health in schools. You still there, Mark?
I am still here, Leslie.
And good luck for that. Okay, now, Mark, any pieces of advice for parents? Your students dealing with these issues that we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the most important things that the parents have got to be aware of is just to give their children space, not to crowd them.
Right.
Like, it's a trap that I think most parents fall into because they want to, you know, they want to help out their kids. They see them struggling a bit. They're doing what any good parent would want to do. But sometimes actually just stepping back and letting the child come to them and letting the child just work their own stuff out is the best thing that they can do. Yeah, obviously, take that with a dose of salt. You don't want to be doing that too much.
No, but
I think as a general rule, I think that's it's a good one to follow. I know my mother, that's one of the best things she did was she just let me deal with it. And when I wanted to come to her or whatever, you know, I seek these different things out. I think adolescents are amazing at problem solving.
Oh, yes.
And if they've got a problem, they will find a way around it.
Communication.
Exactly. It's the importance of communication, as with any time in your life and any problem that you have. I think, especially for adolescents, they're probably not the best communicators going around, which is the understatement of the century.
Exactly.
But, yeah,
oh, yes.
I think there definitely is this tendency for adolescents to think that they're the only ones dealing with these different types of problems.
That's right. And you don't have to be an adolescent to think that either.
No, you don't.
No, you can think,
yeah.
If you open your mouth and have a little chat to someone, think, Jimmy, somebody else.
I know, it's
a problem too.
It's quite amazing. Like I'll put my hand up. I remember when I was in year 8 and 9 and dealing with different issues, I wasn't the best communicator about these different issues.
No. Gosh, it's a learned thing, I think.
Yeah.
And naturally talented, but I think it's a learned thing.
It is definitely a learned thing. I remember my mother talking about it when I think it was in year 10 or something, 2 years later. She had no idea, absolutely no idea whatsoever.
Remember when your parents, and it happened to you too, maybe it's the first time, you don't come with a manual.
No, you don't. Yeah, and that's the final thing, like, and that links in with communication, I think. Exactly. Just to realise there's heaps of different people out there who can help you get through this troubled time in your life. People have had that same experience and gone through similar issues,
mm-hmm.
but also people have, I guess, trained in this different area. So I'm talking, you know, you see psychologists, you know, for me it was a tutor, and also talking with friends and family.
Very important. Aunties and uncles can be, and grandparents.
Yeah, aunties and uncles, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So there's a heap of different support out there, so you don't have to go at it alone is the main issue, really.
And that's what we've got to kind of let them know, hey?
Exactly, because it's easy to forget that.
That's right. Now, Mark, if a student or a parent feel the need to talk with a psychologist, how do they go about that?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware of this, but seeing a psychologist is now covered by Medicare, so it's making it really affordable for people to seek this mental health that they require. So all your listeners really have to do is make an appointment to see a psychologist or go and see their GP, mm-hmm. and the GPs have a good register of the psychologists within their area, and they'll refer you to the psychologist, and Medicare will cover up to 18 sessions per year. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and I think it's good that Medicare's on board, because you know, one or two probably isn't enough. It takes a while to talk through the different issues that people have,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think 18 is a good number.
Yeah.
So yeah, as I said, to gain access to the Medicare rebates, just encourage your listeners to go and talk to their GP and get a referral to see a psychologist.
Wonderful. Well, once again, Mark, thanks very much for your very informative talk again today.
You're very welcome.
Full of useful information, and I think the children at school, certainly the students at school, certainly could do with extra help.
Well, especially during this time, a stressful time of exams.
Yes, that's for sure. All right, we'll catch you again next month, Mark, and thanks again for your time.
All right, cheers, Leslie.
Bye.